So on behalf of our governing board, which we're a little slim on here today, I'm embarrassed in fact because we don't have more people here for you. We did. Linda sent out, how many people did we send?
I think there was at least 20. But,
at least 20 families that live between here and Cedar City.
Yeah.
Our members are from all over. But you're talking to...
all over the world.
We're the important
ones. Yeah, the guys who make the decisions are all here. Where were we missing? Oh, Jody's back there. Okay, good. So,
yeah.
Take it away.
Do we want to do a roll call? And just let them know who we are? So they know who they're talking to?
Well, Paul and Nancy, she's in the green. We're the ranch managers that live full time out of the ranch.
Okay.
I've seen you out there.
Yeah,
for the game.
Okay. And we talked to you last year.
Yeah.
Linda Alderman is our contact with all the members when they make reservations, and she does the mailings and communications to our members. Vance is on there. Vance Green lives in Arizona, and he is in charge of our communication by website, all of that stuff, our IT guy. Jody Akers is a board member. Robert Musco is a board member. I'm president of the board. Robert Allen's our kind of HOA advisor. And Joe Bose is one of our board members, and his wife Candy.
I love it from Vegas.
We only have one set of members here.
Good job.
And my wife's probably out here throwing the coals around in our pizza oven to make sure it's hot. So when we're done here, we'll migrate over to this other area, the big picnic tables, and I'll cook you all some pizza right out of that pizza oven. So.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just stand rough out. So thank you very much for inviting us here, having us talk. My name is Paul Hancock. I'm the district ranger for the Powell Ranger District of the Dixie National Forest. And
before he goes further, are we recording this?
Okay. It's all on.
Yeah. Okay, good.
You need, let me know if you need me.
And our members will go to their webpage and can be able to hear all of this.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I'm based out of Hangwich. Our office for the Powell Ranger District is in Hangwich. It runs north to the Dutton and south to the Ponsagon. So Deer Springs is right there on the southwest corner of the district. With me is Lindsey Fonger. He's our district fuel specialist. And then Jennifer Green, and she's our NEPA planner, our interdisciplinary team leader. So she's kind of leading this project that we came here to talk to you about. And then, Earl, if you want to introduce yourself.
I'm Earl Evanger. I used to be the Kane County Fire Warden for Utah Forestry Fire and State Lands for like 20-something years. I'm getting a new job, but I'm still kind of helping the county on fuel stuff right now.
Okay.
So they get somebody up and running. So.
You saw that fire ring up at my place?
Yeah.
Earl came out and inspected my fire ring and gave me the green light to have fire there anytime I wanted. Hoses and water and everything.
Guy up there, Derek Prince.
Nice. Well, yeah, so just real briefly, we wanted to visit. We started a fuels reduction project that's on the National Forest System lands right there. It's kind of surrounds Deer Springs Ranch. We started it, I guess we've been working on it, kind of doing some initial data analysis for a couple years now. And we started what's called the NEPA process just last fall. Was that right?
Fall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
what is that acronym, NEPA stand?
Oh, National Environmental Policy Act. And basically it's a law that any federal action, it has to go through environmental analysis where we disclose the effects and then get public input on what those effects are of our actions. And as we were going through this process, we visited with Phil, and he mentioned, you know, there's a, if you go to the, let's go to the very back left, that's the easiest to start with. There's a tiny little piece north of the ranch that's part of the National Monument. It's actually BLM administered land. Originally, when our original proposal went out, it excluded that land, and then Bill said, hey, it'd be nice if you could just carry that seal treatment on. Because I was trying to find it. It's this tiny little piece of land right here on the map. And so visiting with the BLM, they said, yeah, we'd love to have you guys take that part of the project down as part of what our efforts. And so we've joined up with them for our planning process to do this. In a nutshell, what I just wanted to visit with you about, and then mainly I was hoping we could take any questions you have and just answer whatever kind of questions you have. But Mark,
don't worry, look, you see this little yellow thing here?
Yeah.
You see the road that takes a bend right there?
Yeah.
That is where my place is. Okay? So see, their whole plan did not include this little yellow part, but that's BLM land. That's why. So they've got some coordination. So that'll locate you here on the ranch. That is.
Yeah, and if I say something, please just feel free to ask me a question to clarify, or any of us.
Mm-hmm.
But largely, if you go to the pictures that we provided on the back of the first page, these kind of illustrate why we wanted to do this project. As you look at those pictures, the hillsides in the middle there, they've got a lot of junipers coming out. And that, in the simplest terms, is fuel for if a wildfire were to come down on the mountain or get started up there. The junipers carry fire pretty well. And so that hillside was historically oak. And when you you can look at it for the last, I don't know, not maybe 50, 100 years or so, we've done a lot of fire suppression, and that has, in effect, changed the vegetation that's on the landscape. We have more trees, in the simplest terms, than we did in the past, and we did historically. Go ahead, Paul.
Your assessment, are most of the junipers dying or dead? Is that?
No.
Okay. Because there's a guy on the ranch, you know, we kind of look at some certain areas of the ranch and look and see what vegetation, if we have breaks, and he noticed that a lot of, like, one out of three trees is dead or dying.
I think that was through the really dry period where some were starting to die.
He said there was some kind of disease.
Lindsay can probably speak to that better. He's been around longer than
that. Is it mistletoe that's in there, Gaitman?
Well, there's some of that, but if you look at
it, it could be, like Bill was saying, I think a lot of it's just drought effect. The more trees you get there, the more competition there is for a finite resource.
Right.
And so then that's going to, the weaker trees are gonna start being susceptible to that. And so I really think that a lot of it is just drought effect over the past several years.
I mean, if you look at a lot of the trees out there, I mean, that is a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
And you go north, it just gets thicker.
Yes.
In the areas that you're talking about.
Yeah, and if you look at the photo on the bottom, that's at the bottom of one at Birch Canyon, and you can just see how dense the vegetation is there, and that's a concern from a fire perspective, because if a fire gets in there, it gets established, it can move pretty quickly through that vegetation. And from just a watershed perspective, a juniper, on average, sucks up about 25 gallons of water a day. And it can have a dramatic effect on the water system in that watershed. And so if you look at the top picture again, it's got those hillsides are just peppered with junipers. And we can tell those have encroached and came in over the last 50 or so years and just continue to establish. And largely what this project is tailored towards is reducing that fuel loading back to something that was more within the historical range. And in essence, what that does is that provides, on National Forest System land, a buffer for if a wildfire were to get established and give us a chance to, just have an opportunity to protect the private land or protect the watershed.
Is your idea to go in and physically open the space, or is it something that was done as you're coming to our ranch of Sudapaw, where you cleared the whole area out and it's pretty ugly? Is this your plan to clear land or clear spaces?
What our plan is we want to go in and selectively span.
Okay.
And so we'll go in and we'll, like, right against the ranch on what we're calling the Wooey border, that first quarter mile, we'd like to start right there and do quite a bit of thinning right there, but then feather it into the Forest Service ground. So then it's not a defined line of, like, you can see it, especially on power lines. When we put in a new power line, it's just a clear cut right there, and it stands out. And we're trying not to have that where it stands out so bold and so big. We want to try and feather it into the natural topography of the ground and what the vegetation there is.
But you know the area I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was clear. It was beautiful. And now it's not so nice looking at all.
Which area are you talking about? I'm not sure I know.
When you first, you turn off the blacktop and you make that turn on the scooter box.
The BLM.
You go over there about a mile and a half and then to your left, it's all gone.
You haven't seen it lately. There's a ton more.
Yeah.
What it's doing is, you know, the juniper cedars don't let anything grow around it. So there's no vegetation for cattle or for any kind of animal. So clearing that allows a lot of this vegetation to come up for whatever.
So that was my question, how it was going to be. And you said selectively thinned. I can live with that.
Okay.
Cut out or burst. But you think burning?
Are you thinning flat ground or are you going to thin with the sills to cause runoff? Because in Vegas, Mount Charleston had that fire, and now they're having runoff and they're damaging everything because there's no trees. Stop the runoff.
Yeah, we're going to have some thinning and burning. Because once you thin it, just because you've knocked it down, you still have to remove the fuel. The fuel's still there. It's just in a different state than when it was standing.
Okay.
But just so you, yeah, so a lot of thinning and burning. To get it, just so you're aware that what the BLM has been doing in those clear cuts, they're restoring historical grasslands. And so those junipers weren't there historically. And it's actually been pretty amazing in a couple of years. Now, the first year or two after a treatment, it never looks pretty. It won't. But after a couple of years, once the ground has had a chance to recover, the BLM has been able to go from 300 pounds of forage to 3,000 on that. So it has responded amazingly well. It just takes time. But that's, we're not on the National Forest System lands. What we're doing is, like Lindsay said, it'll be a selective thin, and we'll feather it back in up to the top of that ramp.
So just north or just around Tropic Reservoir, you guys are doing some burning also. Is it going to be a lot like that?
Like what we did in Dave's Hollow, right next to Ruby's Inn?
Yeah,
that would be the ideal situation, is to where we can go in. We can thin out, get some of that fuel down, and we'll pile it. Okay, and then we'll go through and burn those piles.
If I could direct somebody to say, hey, what is this going to look like at the end? If I could direct somebody, hey, go up to Tropic or go up to Ruby's Inn and look at that area up there, that's what the end results could be. Is that correct?
That's what we'd like to try and do. Try and open those areas up.
I guess, Lindsay, can you get some pictures of that? And they can put, if there's questions, put it on the Deer Springs website. So they can look at it that way.
Yeah, I can work on some pictures. I was going to try to talk to Chance over at Escalante to get something that's a little more representative of what Deer Springs have with the oak brush, and he's working on getting me some of that stuff.
Yeah, one of the differences between the area around Deer Springs Ranch and that Dave's Hollow is it's got a lot more oak. And when you put fire in there, that oak's just going to sprout like crazy.
Yeah.
So if you'll get an idea from an overstory. The trees will be thinner and that kind of stuff. But the understory will look a lot different at Deer Springs just because of what's there. So we were talking about that on the drive up, that we should try and really find some good pictures to help illustrate what it could look like and what we're going for.
You know, this might be kind of a stupid question, but is there such thing as useful harvesting of some of that bulk brush, or in other words, are there people interested in coming in, mulching it up and prepping it out for whatever purpose they want?
You know, if you know of somebody who's interested, have them get a hold of her. The way we've designed this proposal is so that we have that option of being able to remove this fuel however. And right now, there's not a lot of market.
I was thinking if there were, like, large bolt lines or something, you know, then you bring the loggers in, and you got lumber for building houses. So.
There's a few different branch of trees up there. I've been cutting up there for 8 years, and you know the ponderosas are kind of far, you know.
And most of the ponderosas will probably be stuff that we want to leave,
yeah,
because
yeah.
they've been there for 100 years or so, and it depends on the market. And right now, a lot of the material we would look at moving, which is the juniper and the smaller trees and stuff, that would make it dense on the bottom, they just don't have a lot of market value. But if you guys know of somebody who wants fuel wood, we can carve out opportunities like that. In the
log decks available to go and cut it.
Unless somebody approaches us beforehand, we probably will approach it with the mindset of that we're going to be piling and burning and doing, you know, whatever. Whether it's, I don't know if we're going to do too much shipping, but
I'll be up there a lot if you would, and I know there's a lot of lot owners there that, you know, Phil might go up there and get some wood, but if there's some designated areas that we could get some wood, that's
yeah. Is somebody on the phone trying to say something, or is it just off of you? Okay, let's take the silence. We can talk about that. If you guys have an interest in us making wood available, we have that option.
Yeah.
Right now, like I said, there's not a lot of demand for it. And so, but the project, we've tailored it to the point where if we wanted that option, if it became available, it's available. I'd much rather see the wood used than burned or chipped. And
in my house for 8 years.
But, you know, back to your comment on what it'll look like, just to warn you, if we treat on National Forest System land and feather it this way, you're still going to have the line on private land. And I think that's part
that's
of
what I'm here to talk about.
What Phil's talking about. Because we may be able to, I've seen it time and time again, oh yeah, you won't be able to notice. Well, you notice it until it's done on both sides of the fence. So just fair warning, I guess. Boy, I don't have a whole lot else to say. I'm more than willing to take questions.
So Deer Springs is, you know, 8,000 acres of privately owned property. And I think the big question is liability. You know, if there's a fire that gets out of control, which I know you guys, you know, keep a good eye on it. But I think the big question is...
It happens.
You know, especially being south of a big hill, you know, there's going to be some good grass and wind coming downhill from the north. What's
the
liability like?
So there's two things to look at. If it's a naturally lightning caused fire, it's we don't have any liability there. We didn't start it. If we started it, you know, I wish a couple years ago when I started this job, I'd have given you a different answer, and I found out I was wrong. I wish I could say if we started a fire and it escaped and it affected private land, we would pay for it. I'm finding out that the way the laws are written that cover liability for the federal government is if we did a prescribed fire, you have to prove negligence. We have to have done something that was totally out of line. Like Lindsay was out there on the burn and he decided I'm going to put fire on this side of the line. And but it has to be what's called gross negligence. And otherwise, the federal government, Congress, they just don't like to give away money. And so... And then, in fact, it's a relatively recent law, given our history, that they even allowed people to sue the federal government. So I'm not going to just lie to you and promise you that we'd pay for everything. But
good to know.
I guess some of the queries are, you know, our Meadow Canyon Road that goes up through the middle of the ranch. I feel the good questions about, well, okay, travel. You know, it is now made, we agreed to the county and that.
Maintain it.
Yeah, so it's a public right-of-way. We granted that on that road. The county is supposed to help on occasion with some maintenance of it. We spend $15,000 a year trying to put new gravel and things down. Our worry is if you have numerous big rigs and trucks and things hauling things out,
right,
and stuff like that. If in your plan, if there are provisions to help us
maintain that road if it gets beat down to dust.
Yeah, so you had brought that up in the letter, and I know you're raising your hand. I'll get to you in just a second. But he had brought that up in your letter, and I went to Lindsay and said, you know, how often do you think we're going to be in there with equipment? And the way it was described to me is basically we're going to bring in a bobcat or something one time, and it'll sit there. It's not going to be like a logging operations where you have multiple loads coming off a day. The initial plan, the way it sits now, is that it'll be a minimal trips in. The equipment will just be staged there. We'll go in and treat the areas. Would you say differently? Or?
No, that's it. It'd be pickups coming in and out. And that would only be, you know, if we can't come across the top. Because coming across the top from Penguin is quicker to be able to drop down in the Meadow Canyon. But if for some reason snow's too deep or something like that, we will come in and we'll try and get in early in the mornings when there's frost in the ground and only one direction.
As far as logging trucks, you're not going to have logging trucks running.
No. It'll be pickups.
Okay. Yeah. And if you at some point do have a concern, say, hey, I really feel like you're having a big impact on this, you just need to come talk to us because we do have mechanisms with. Because we have a similar agreement with the county to maintain that road. We can funnel them money to, hey, go out, can you make a trip or two on that road? Let us know if you have concerns about the trips and the impacts it's having. We're more than happy to talk to you about that.
So by looking at the map, it looks like that you will be accessing through Meadow Canyon, but also over to Podunk and up Sly Canyon too in these other areas. It's not just the one main road.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
The road from the top Crawford down through that.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, and I think we asked the question, but it was determined the answer back from you was that it was better to leave it natural and not put in huge culverts because that road frequently the water will go down the road and then it makes it quite difficult. I mean, I have a Hummer and I can get over it usually, but.
Yeah.
Other four-wheel drive cars cannot.
Yeah, we spoke with our hydrologist, and it was the previous team leader was with me when we did that. But because of the soils, all of that Clarion stuff that's coming down, it builds this alluvial fan, and the nature of that system is it just moves material when you get the rainflow events. And so putting a culvert in there, all that does is it gives it something to plug. And then the system is still going to move over here anyways because it's just the way the material is, it moves. And so we talked about how it's best that road system is just to kind of work with it over time and move the material as the road moves itself. So.
I think I remember that was your answer. So, okay.
Yeah. You've been very patient.
Yeah, I got two possible questions here.
Go ahead.
You're going to spin this out. There's going to be a lot of chipped wood left over. My question is, and I don't know the answer to this, is with any of that, do you have to use the fill on some of the sections on Studenbach in conjunction with the county? If they put gravel, can they mix some of that material with the gravel to stop the road from being so muddy, gives it some more strength, or just throw it all away?
I've seen where chips have been on the gravel road, it all gets mixed in, the chips overall, I just push it out anyway. It don't really bind to the dirt.
Doesn't help any then?
No, not as much.
The second part of my question is, I'm not concerned as many times as you go up Meadow Canyon Road as if you go up Meadow Canyon Road when it's going to rain. You go up when it's dry. As you come down when it's wet, you've just pushed our gravel 6 inches deep and the silt comes at the top, and that's when I'm suggesting that a lot of common sense be used on those days, cancel that trip and reschedule it because more damage is done when the road is wet than it is, obviously, when it's dry. So that would be my concern, is use common sense when you're coming down. Because I have a cabin up there, and when I go up, I'm retired. So if it rains really hard and I'm planning on coming home on Monday, unless I got a doctor's appointment, I stay till Wednesday or Thursday sometimes. So I don't want to damage the road running down. But obviously, you can't sit up there in your car for 2 days. But
well,
use common sense going up.
The other roads
yeah.
Well.
Yeah,
it is. That's a whole road, but I mean, all I'm saying is use common sense. When it's going to be a heavy rain, it's predicted to be heavy rain, don't go up.
Yeah.
Because you can't stop the rain, obviously.
drought is a big thing in our ranch.
Okay.
That's a fair request. We'll do what we can. And like I said, if it becomes a concern...
You know, can't be 100% with that, but...
Well, yeah, sometimes...
If it's going to rain today, then...
But if it becomes a concern, just visit with us. Like I said, we have ways to just... We work with the counties really well on roads, and we have agreements in place that we can get them in and maintain it.
Else. If you got three trucks up there, everybody jump in one and come down in one truck rather than all three trucks come down. Just common sense is all that.
Okay.
With you saying that, is there a plan to kind of straighten that road up a little bit after the project's done?
About the fence?
Up to traffic or up through the this project.
You know, we don't have anything in there to make any road adjustments.
What do you mean by straighten?
There's just a lot of people that come down from the top, just like you guys come from Pang, which is quicker to go down from the top. And lately, with the water and everything, with the rains and everything, just kind of bringing a lot of damage to the road, making it almost impassable.
I think it was last year when we entered into an agreement. They're going to try and get up there at least twice a year, and if it needs to be, the county, and if it needs to be more, we just have to visit with them.
Okay.
And
so, okay.
Yeah, the counties
we're
are...
We're glad to hear because we'll give our input to the counties, but if you're doing it too, or we call you in, might get a little more.
Yeah, I mean, they may be busy and have equipment over on one part of the county. It might take them a few days to get over there, but they've been pretty good to work with.
Right. Now, is that road always going to be open as you guys are going through this project? Is there going to be a time when, you know... Because I have a lot of people that come to the ranch... And they're coming from Salt Lake, and they call and say, hey, can I come down from the top? Is the gate open? I say the gate's always open.
The only time it might be closed is if we're prescribed burning, or it might be just for a short period of time. We don't have any.
Yeah, it'd only be for a day or two when we're actively out there.
Now, would you coordinate with me on that, on the days that?
I can easily put you on my contact list when we're doing that type of stuff. But, you know.
Yeah.
How long will what?
Your time
spent? To implement the whole thing, or?
Okay. Sorry. Start to finish.
When will it start?
You want to take it?
So it'll take us. We're in the planning process right now. The goal is to hopefully have the planning done before the end of this calendar fiscal year at the latest.
Within a year, you think?
Just the planning, yep. Before the end of 2016.
What I mean is when you actually start this project, how...
The implementation side of it, on how long we'll be actively out there working. It's going to be... it's going to be over several years. It's not something... It's going to be funding dependent and workforce dependent, and it's going to be... It's not something we're going to be able to do in a winter or two winters. I would say probably 5 or 6 years.
You're taking mostly winter months then?
A lot of it would be with the mechanical side and the hand crews, or my guys that would be coming in would be in the wintertime. Prescribed burning would be spring and fall type. But during the active...
That's going to be my next question because of the smoke in the air, photography, and my husband's... prescribed burn going, but anyway, so you're thinking mostly spring and fall because summer is too dry.
Correct. And during the summertime, it's my fire guys, it's my fire crews that will be doing most of the work, and during the summertime, they're doing fires as compared to field work. So
you're kind of on the border. I mean, you're not talking about the dead of winter, are you? 4 feet of snow, 3 feet of snow.
And they could be up there in that type of stuff.
Are they going to go through the ranch to get up there to their equipment?
It's depending. I mean, if they can come across the top, they'll come across the top. If they got to come up in the ranch in the wintertime, we'll do it when the ground's frozen so that we're not running roads. Because we have that problem all the time. We deal with the soft roads, and when the the thaw's coming out, we stay off of them. We do other stuff and until they dry out. It's something we deal with all the time. And where this is on that big south aspect, it usually burns off quicker, and so they should have a little more.
I'm not going to drive there today.
Probably not. No, you came out of there, right? Today.
I mean, I came from the ranch, but you get up to the gate, you can't get to the gate.
Okay. Yeah, and that's things we'll work with as as crews are available, as time is available, and what the weather lets us do. That's the big wild card is the weather.
Like, okay.
If there's snow, we won't be up in there.
Logistically here, I think one-on-one we can do a lot more questioning while we're lunching and eating. But so let me propose, because it seems like you're just fielding questions right now, right?
Yeah. You want to do that?
You want to have some? Or Earl needs a little time to talk to us, or do you want to?
I got
one question on that gate that's half different from Crawford Pass coming down to our ranch. That gate's down in there about almost a half a mile. And my question is, when does that gate close? Is it a specific day every year at the same time, or is it closed only on weather conditions, or when does that gate close?
It's done upon when the weather's getting. When the snow, it's in a bad spot, that gate is. And
that's what I was getting at.
Because you get down there and suddenly that gate's
closed.
It's hard to get up.
There's no room. You should at least clear a spot out so a person could turn around and go back up. I mean,
yeah.
You'd have to walk out. You couldn't back up in the muddy. There's no turnaround whatsoever.
And that's something we should probably talk with on the district with some of those guys.
I would assume, unless you put a signage up on top saying, road closed ahead, do not enter. Someone goes down in there, they're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no coming back.
Okay. Earl, go ahead.
So, kind of what I come down for, I was working with Brent Palmer and Joe on a CWPD Community Wildfire Protection Plan for Deer Springs. And then after hearing what the Forest Service was going to do, they've modified the format of that plan, so it's going to be a lot simpler just to create the plan. But it's a place for the property owners to get together and set a bunch of goals and stuff to do stuff on the ranch side of the fence, for like a fuel break on your side of the fence to feather it out back into the property that's going to border this project. And if your plan states that, the state will go in and get money, and a lot of the money that we could go after, it's not a 100% given, but the Forest Service has what they call Stevens Funds money to work on private land adjacent to where the Forest Service has been doing a project. We could start working on something to that effect and do a fuels treatment on the private side to help protect you, or help the fire started on the private side, minimize it from going onto the forest as fast, and by time to get people out there, start fighting the fire. So there's a lot of other things. The state's changing their fire policy on how they pay for fires, the communities and the counties, and a lot of it now is going to be, instead of paying like a hard dollar insurance premium to the state, it will all be like in-kind dollars that the county can just put back into projects within the county. And I've got about 5 pages of stuff to hand to Kent County about my biggest thing. When I would go to Deer Springs driving around, I'd lost. And half of the fire people that's going to come up there will be lost. We need to get some better signage, like where the roads are, if you get turned around, have arrows pointing out, not just saying, you know, this way out or this way to headquarters, so if people do get turned around. But there's stuff like, I'm going to try and get the county to participate in maybe putting some of that stuff there, just so if we get turned around up there, we know how to get out. Because a lot of times when we come, it's really smoky and we're there's a lot of confusion and you can get turned around quite fast.
So are you saying there's, in a sense, it's like grant money, if there's a, there's funding, if we get organized and we have a specific plan?
And you guys spell out what you want to do, and I've tried it in the past. We've done a little bit, go up and do, like, send the right-of-ways out going up through Meadow Canyon, so you're not slapping your mirrors in some of them places. If there's a fire getting close, we just open it up a little bit, and if we can call it a fuel break, we can get probably talk to the BLM and give it some maintenance clause in there. We can trim on their side, and the more you trim the trees back and let the sun hit the road, it's going to dry out in the winter, and it's going to dry out quicker, and you can see around the turns. But we do it in the name of fire safety. Sometimes it's a little easier than just going and saying we want to trim the trees up. So if we put all of that in this document, and then in future times, that document helps the Forest Service get their funding. If they're trying to do something near you, if you have one of these valid plans in place saying you can actually say you want work done on the federal side of the fence in conjunction with them, which benefits everybody. So I'll still work, I guess, from the board's perspective until somebody kicks me out. I'll work with Joe and Brent to kind of develop this plan. And but we need to...
Can you give us examples some other people have done, you know, with the exemplary of what we should be...
First he did, right as you come off the gravel pit,
that was part of what they did, yeah.
They did that.
Earl, yes. By the way, Robert over here, Musco is now on roads also.
Okay.
So, and fire, so.
So these two should get connected, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we should form a committee, I think, for this particular endeavor so that we have four or five of you. Get it done.
There's several purposes for the plan. Number one, it gives you stay. Instead of just the state for somebody coming and saying you have to do this, you can pick items of your highest priority where you think if you do anything should be done. As the state used to go in and do lot cleanups around the home and just clean up around the home, it's really not effective and it's not a good place to do that because that should be the homeowner's problem. That should be their responsibility to keep their home from burning. But if we can get everybody along the boundary to give us permission to work, the state will come and put money into it because we're protecting the whole, not just an individual. And there's other pots of money. There is actually state money that's being used for fuel breaks. And we just, legislature cut it $1 million this year, but the state actually started putting money into fuel breaks. And I had one proposal over at Bryce Woodlands for this next fiscal year, and I've already told the county after that, my next place is Deer Springs, is where I want the county's main focus for this to be for a while, because you guys kind of get ignored by the county for a lot of stuff. But it is an issue, because for fire people to get there, it takes a couple of hours, depending on where they have to come from. In there. So the more we can do to slow things down and get it to where it's workable when we get there, we'll try and help you.
So for those lot owners that are adjoining the Forest Service, can they individually apply? You know, I mean, there's a ranch overall thing, but and that's what we'll have committees and work towards trying to get this a little bit organized.
What we've done in the past is I'll go in and get all the list of all the property owners along the border. We will send them an individual letter stating what we would like them to do. Send them a letter and say, would you let us do this on your property? And we will, you know, we'll spell it out. It's a shaded fuel break, the whole thing like the Forest Service is trying to do. We'll try and match it, kind of feather it in so it's not just that one straight line like Paul was talking about. I hate that. But if you just open it up a little bit so fire don't climb to the top, and it don't spread as fast. That's what we're trying to do. Just, but it don't have to look ugly when we're doing it. You guys can tell us how you want it to look. It still needs to modify the thread of pipe a little bit to where it's manageable.
So what I'm hearing you say is the ranch can come up with a viable plan.
Yes.
Prioritize what we think is important in this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Present it to you. It's not in terms of having to write up a grant and going through the steps.
The state will take care of all of that, does that, and it's competitive. So this is like the Forest Service. Whatever we do is funding limited or whenever we can get funding.
And what is that idea? Let's say this year that's a priority of the ranch. Put something together and present it. Are we talking a year from now?
Probably.
A year from funding, et cetera?
We just spent, what was it? We had $90,000 over the hill at Bryce Woodlands. We had a $90,000 Stevens Fund grant a couple years ago to work right against the border of what you've done up in the head of Bryce Woodlands in the canyon. So we're trying to get where our partners are working to make it more beneficial. And we'll work with individual lot owners. And we'll send out all the letters and we'll do all of that. Let's go.
In reference to cleaning things up, getting to a fire, like from where I live, where my cabin is, between lot 109 and 108, there's an uphill climb of about a quarter mile. If it rains,
we don't really.
You're not getting a fire truck in.
Yeah, I've been there, I've done that. So
the question is, would they be willing to drop some gravel in there?
All we can do at this point, unless there's another pot of money, it's just like the Forest Service, we're vegetation manipulation type money. But if I can prove through this other thing on the county and their participation, part of the money can go for preparedness. So it's something we could discuss with them if they put a couple loads of gravel on a road here and there so we can get fire truck access.
It's about a quarter mile section. It's impassable when it rains.
That would be one of the things that could be eligible for this other suppression fund stuff. So anything that gets us in it now, capacity buildup, getting us there. So I know the hill you're talking about.
Yeah.
So,
just past the A-frame and you're going towards my place.
That's in a nutshell what we've got going. And if they hire a new warden, I'm supposed to kind of chaperone them for a while. So we'll make sure things, but if we get the plan going, I haven't seen the new format, but it's changed drastically. So as soon as I get that, I'll get with you guys and we'll move forward and, I need to come back to another board meeting. I can do that. Any other questions?
You haven't been to the ranch in a while. I don't know if you know, we acquired a fire truck of our own.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'll have to come look at it.
Let me suggest this because my B7 fires might be going out. I've got to go over there and I suggest we mosey and reconvene over there and then we can still answer questions unless you have something else you want to tell us right now.
No, we'll be around. So thank you very much.
Okay, so